Hi, this is Sean Douglas, host of the live online radio show, Life Transformation Radio, and you are listening to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with my good friend, Robert Thibodeau. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss any upcoming episodes. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. This is Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. We've been talking with Ken Rupert. He's the founder of the Financial Black Belt Financial Management System. He's also an author, speaker, producer, master Christian life coach who specializes in helping his clients to achieve financial stability. And then on top of all that, he's also a caregiver coach. Now, if you missed any of yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up because we don't have time to go back and cover it today. But you will definitely want to take notes and pay attention to what Ken has to say today. So now we'll jump right back into the interview with Ken Rupert. Well, let's talk about empathy, the empathy book, Life Beyond Self. What was the purpose of writing that book? I mean, who's the intended audience?
So empathy is for anyone who has any interaction with anybody who's struggling. And that means pretty much it's for everyone, right? Because we all deal with people who are struggling.
We all do something.
And empathy really grew out of the lessons that I've learned about becoming a servant to my son. My son can't do a lot for himself. So you have to learn how to become a servant. And I was never one that was very good at that before my son was born. But over the years, what I've learned is, in my walk with the Lord, is that, you know, Jesus was a servant. He left his position in glory and entered into the world of man who was struggling. And he provided a path of restoration. Right. And that's the model that God gave us. He said, leave what's most important to you. Put aside your priorities. Enter into the world of somebody else who is struggling and provide them a path of restoration. If we want to model Christ, that's how we have to model him. Yeah. It's not about doing miracles, right? Let God worry about the miracles.
Yeah.
We're to put aside our priorities, enter into the lives of those who are struggling, and provide a path of restoration.
Amen.
You know, so many people who are struggling in silence because it's very difficult for somebody who does not have that struggle to understand it
or be willing
to step into that person's life and deal with the harsh reality that that person is dealing with. That's a very difficult task.
Yeah.
And so that's where empathy came from, was really my experience with my son.
Yeah, amen. When I'm helping people, you know, say, well, what area of ministry should I go into? You know, one, that's between you and God. But, you know, you get someone that, I think I want to minister to drug addicts. Okay, did you ever have a drug problem? No.
Mm-hmm.
Well, number one, you're not going to be able to connect with them because their first response is, "You don't know what I'm going through." It takes an alcoholic to minister to another alcoholic, a drug addict to minister to another drug addict. You know, because you can go ahead and provide services, but you are not going to connect with them on that emotional level unless you understand completely what they're going through, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I can understand where that book, that's awesome. Now,
that's why I really don't have a ministry outreach to a group that I can't. I mean, I can relate to caregivers
to
a depth that other people can't. And, you know, God's blessed me enough to walk a path that I've been able to put together my analytical abilities and my strategic thinking kind of intellect and my experience and say, hey, you know, you can't do this. It's going to be difficult, but let me, you know, I'll mentor you. I'll encourage you. I'll nurture you. I'll strengthen you, whatever works, you know. But I've been that path, so I know what it's like.
Yep. Amen. Now, Your book, The Plan, that evolved from the empathy book, correct?
Correct. It's you know, empathy talks about the relationship that God has with man, that he provided the path of restoration through his son. Well, now the question is, well, how do I do that? If I'm a person who's not struggling, I don't know. See, so this is where it now addresses, how does a person who hasn't experienced the struggle minister or walk alongside of those that do? And the plan really breaks that down in a lot of detail of how to be a person who builds empathy, who walks alongside of somebody else without being judgmental, without saying, well, you should just be able to get over it, because I don't know how many times I've heard that, right? So the plan is a way of walking through it. Now, there's a supplement to the plan that says, how does a church implement the plan in their men's ministry, in their women's ministry, in their ministry as a whole? What does it take to develop a real relationship with somebody on such a level that you can walk alongside of them regardless of how long it will take? But, you know, most problems aren't fixed in 6 months.
Right,
you have
right.
to walk alongside of somebody for the rest of your life, possibly. That's what I have to do with my son.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get that mentality, you know, that we can become a people of empathy. And we can minister to others, but there has to be a relationship. And that relationship is based upon the person who's struggling has to give me access. They have to give me the permission to enter into their struggle. I can't just assume that I can enter into it.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, was permission. That's right. Because they may not want your advice right now. Right now.
Exactly.
There may come a point in time when they will, but, you know, yeah, that's 100% spot on.
All about building relationship first, and then seeking to minister, right? If we don't have a relationship, ministry becomes, you're telling me what I'm doing wrong, and you don't know what I'm doing wrong because you haven't been here.
Right. Yeah, amen. Now, so The Plan is one book, and The Plan Supplement is another book?
Yeah, that one's designed for, like, if a leader of a men's ministry or if a pastor of a church decided to read The Plan, and they're like, oh, this is great, this is good material, but how do I implement The Plan? Okay, well, that's where you go out and you get the supplement, because the supplement will tell you how to do it in a small group setting, how to do it in a bigger church setting, or whatever.
Okay. Now, there is a book you wrote that caught my attention, titled God, I Was Wondering. How many times have we said that? tell us about that book.
So that book was one of the greatest learning experiences I've ever had as a Christian. I couldn't answer the questions straight up. I really had to rely on the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, that book came to me when I was walking down the hallway of my house, and I said, well, God, what do you want me to do now? You know, I've written this men's devotional book that I got, a 31-day devotional book. What do you want me to do now? And he said, I want you to think about what you're doing with me right now. And I'm like, well, I'm just asking you a question. I want you to answer a question. And I'm thinking, okay, where am I going to get these questions from? Like, am I going to make them up or something? So there's this website called Haro, Help a Reporter Out, and you can go out there as a reporter, and you can put a little thing out there, and you get responses. So I put a query out there that said, hey, I want atheists and agnostics to just imagine God exists, because I know they don't believe that, but just imagine that he does, and you would happen to run into him face-to-face, and you could ask him one question, what question would it be? And I got back 42 responses.
Wow, that's cool.
And so I took those questions, and my wife and I went through them and over them, and she's like, these are kind of silly questions, and she kind of divided them up by, you know, whether it was a silly question or whether it was somewhat good, and hey, this is a really good one, we got to keep this one in the book. And I said, I think I should just answer all 42, regardless of how silly they are. And she was like, well, why would you want to do that? And I'm like, because it's not the question, it's the question behind the question that I think the Holy Spirit wants me to answer.
Good.
And so I would pray over every question, and I just started answering them. Now, understand that I have no theological training. I haven't gone to seminary and stuff like that. I just had a relationship with my Lord.
Right.
And I really had to depend upon the Holy Spirit to kind of give me insight. And being that we're dealing with atheist and agnostic questions, I didn't want to come at it from a heavy theological point of view. There's theology throughout the book. However, I wanted to also look at it from a practical point of view of saying, hey, logically speaking, is this something we can understand? Mm-hmm. You know, can we look at our world and say this makes sense to us? And so every question is addressed, and some of them are, I mean, there are some silly questions, right? Like, why did God create the platypus? I don't know. You know, but when you start to dig into it, it's like, well, did he create it for my good pleasure, or did he create it for his good pleasure? So that might be something I don't understand, why he did it. Yeah. I can just tell you that he's the creator, and that's what we need to focus on. So it's the question behind the question. And it's just a fascinating book. It taught me a lot, and I'm actually working on God I Was Wondering Too, with a lot more difficult questions. So it's a little slower process, but it was a fun book to write. It definitely gives you a different perspective, and it taught me so much about my walk with the Lord just reading it, because it opened up a lot of things that even Christians have questions about. Yeah. We have the same questions. We just come at it from a different point of view.
Amen. That's awesome. That is awesome. Now, how did you get the inspiration for writing all these books? I mean, how do you do it? There's so many books. We talked about this before we started. I mean, you're writing, you said you just enjoy writing, but how do you get the inspiration? Like, this is the book on empathy. This is the book on the plan. You know, how do you come up with this inspiration to write these books?
Oh, well, I you know, it's too easy to fall back and say it's a God thing, right?
It is, I know. Give credit where credit's due, you know.
That's right. Part of it is who I am. It's the way I think. I look at the world a little bit differently. I try to use the books as an opportunity for teaching. I guess you could say I'm a frustrated teacher. Because I've never had the I've talked to groups before. I don't get the opportunity to speak as much to groups as I enjoy. So I think a way for me to release that energy is through writing.
Okay.
And the topics are all topics that I enjoy. I love to write about God and the things of God. I love to write about stress points in my life that I've overcome and then how I've overcome them. And I believe that a lot of us are struggling, and the reason why we're struggling is because we're not quite sure what to do, and we're afraid to take the first step.
Yeah.
So if we can get over that, maybe I can give somebody something to do, and that will encourage them to take the first step. Vice versa, maybe they've taken the first step, but they've gotten confused, and now they don't know what to do, right? So I try to think in ways of teaching people through my experiences and through my knowledge, right? Three different ways of knowledge. You got formal knowledge, which is what you and I would go through in college or seminary. Right. That's formal knowledge. Then you have experiential knowledge. You learn from your experiences. And then there's a third kind of knowledge that's rather rare. It's called observational knowledge. It's when you can watch another situation, and from that situation you can draw knowledge from it. And it's taking those three types of knowledge and kind of combining them and bringing them together and then writing about a topic that I believe at that moment is pertinent to either somebody I've observed struggling. And we don't live in silos.
Right.
So I'm not the only person that's struggling with this. There's other people out there. And if I can put a resource out there that can, you know, encourage somebody to take a step that's going to improve their situation, it makes writing a lot easier. And finance is one that I love. Mm-hmm. I'm self-taught in finances. Writing about the Lord is another one I love. And then basically just saying, hey, how did you set goals? Well, you got to have goals, but we go about that all wrong. You know, we set the goal and then we think we execute on the goal. It's like, no, you got to set objectives. You got to understand what your timeline is. You got to understand what you got to do a gap analysis. You have to understand what you don't have today that you're going to need to have in order to get to where you want to get to.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. No, that's, you know, you and I are both in the Army, so, you know, the objective for the battle plan is, you know, take that hill.
Well, you just said, okay, let's go. Everybody go to the hill. Let's go. Yeah. It's, you know, okay, these units start off in the assembly area. This will be the first one leading, you know, the cavalry will be the covering the flank so you don't get, you know, ambushed. You know, each unit has a specific mission as the overall mission goes up to the objective, but there's steps along the way, little checkpoints to make sure everyone's on track, on time, you know. And it's the same thing. It doesn't matter what area you're in life. You know, I want to write a book. Okay, that's the objective. How are you going to get there? Well, I got to have all these chapters. Okay, there's the steps. Now, how are you going to make the check? You know, how are you going to accomplish each step? You know, one paragraph a day or one page a day, whatever the case may be. And that's how the objectives are met. Yeah, so that makes complete sense. Amen.
And I would say that anybody who wants to write a book, have a clear idea of what you want to communicate. I may not know exactly how I'm going to communicate it, but I know what I want to communicate. That's the old classic, that's the picture of the goal. And then the objectives become, hey, now I'm going to talk about, let's see, there's 10 points to making, like, for instance, get to a financial black belt, right? There's 13, there's 12 other belts before that.
Okay.
So what steps in a logical progression do I take to get to a first degree black belt, which would be a net worth millionaire? That's what a first degree black belt is. The net worth millionaire. Well, how do I get there? Well, let's see. You're going to have to take care of your debt. You're going to have an emergency fund. You're going to have to operate on a budget, or what I call an IDS, which is an income distribution strategy. You're going to have to have your house paid off, because to tell you the truth, that's the biggest financial drain on our ability to build wealth.
True.
So it's not that it's a bad thing. It's a good thing. But if we can eliminate that drain, we accelerate our ability to get to a net worth millionaire. Because when you think about it, if you have a house worth $400,000 and you've paid it off, you now have $400,000 worth of net worth.
Right.
You're closer to first degree black belt than you think, right?
That's right.
So it's just, and then it's working together of putting the IRAs and the 401ks and the HSAs and understanding how to work on a priority structure of building these things that you move yourself to first degree, to second degree, to third degree, to fourth degree, and on up. It can be done. Anybody can be a first degree black belt, but I love what my master says, right? Master Baruch, he says, how long does it take the average person to become a black belt? And some people, him and Han, 3 years, 5 years. Now, the average person doesn't become a black belt because they don't stick with it long enough.
Amen. Yeah, right? That's right.
The financial black belt process is a lifelong process, and anybody can become a financial black belt if they stick with it long enough.
Amen.
And that's the key.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Now, we sort of covered how you evolved into the role of being a caregiver, you know, and you know, not just for your son, but you are also a coach for other caregivers, helping them with their finances and, you know, through the books and all that. But do you coach these people in person, online, over the phone? How do you do that?
I believe face-to-face interaction is the best. It gives me clues that, you know, the nonverbal clues that I can pick up, and I can see somebody could be talking about something, but do I really know they're struggling with it? Mm-hmm. If I see them face-to-face, I can tell you when they're struggling with it or what exactly. I remember sitting down with one client, and they're a retired client, and they still had a house payment, and they were trying to figure out, you know, kind of what to do. And this was somebody who had gone through where there was a danger of losing their spouse. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what's your greatest fear? Tell me what your greatest fear is. And she said, becoming or being destitute, being financially destitute. Mm-hmm. And I said, what's your second greatest fear? And she said, being a financial burden on my children. Those are two really big fears they have to overcome, right? So the idea is, okay, well, let's look at your finances and see what your position is and see if there's any opportunity for you to take advantage of anything. You know, if there's a financial opportunity that you've kind of overlooked, let's look at that to kind of make sure that, you know, and I think it was like this person, and I'd done this easily 10 years ago. So anyway, through the process of building a strategy and teaching her how to execute on a strategy, you know, go to a lawyer, do this, get paperwork drawn up. So we got that part taken care of. And then it was like, well, let's look at your IRA. Let's see what, you know, at 70 years old, you have a minimum distribution that you have to take out. The government says, hey, we want our tax money now. So you're going to have to start taking out money.
Yeah.
So at that time, the amount they had to take out was like $11,000 a year. It's not a great deal of money. I said, well, here's your goal. Let's try to figure out a way to set it up that your current balance will generate $22,000 worth of return. So if you can generate $22,000 worth of return, the strategy is you'll never be touching your principal. You'll only be touching your growth, right? Yeah. When you take out your $11,000, you'll only be touching your growth. You won't be touching your principal. And actually, you'll be growing your principal.
Yeah.
Well, here we are 10 years later. Their house is paid for. They've maintained their principal. They haven't lost any of the principal. They actually have to take out more money now because not only are they getting older, but their account is worth more now.
Yeah.
And it's simply sitting down and saying, what strategy do we need to deploy in order to make sure we arrest those two fears of you being financially destitute and you being a burden on your children? And we've done that. And now she's approaching 81 years old. And, you know, she's in so much better of a position because she had a strategy.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. That is awesome. Now, if someone reached out to you from, like, California or whatever, would you, like, meet with them on Zoom or something like that?
So we would probably have a phone consultation to kind of see what their goals are, where they want to go, whether it's something that I can actually help them with. And I do Skype meetings. I would do Skype meetings. It's a little different. Distance coaching is a lot more different. It's more different. That sounds great English, right?
Yeah, you're a great writer.
I didn't say it was me. No, I have a great editor, you know. See, I was smart, right? I married my editor.
There you go.
She is phenomenal, and she edits all my books. And so if there's a mistake in there, it's not her, it's me. I
blame
put something
her.
In there wrong. Yeah, no, don't blame her. Blame me, because I think she's really, really good. So it would be different, but I'm always open to trying to help people. And, you know, it may not be a situation where I can take it on as a coaching client as much as, hey, you know, I'll give you some advice based on what you've given me in your information and see if it works. And you know, if we took it, I would love to be nationwide. I would love to be able to travel around and talk to groups and you know, share my experiences, share my knowledge, you know, put my books out there. I would love for all that to happen. Right now, God has me working a 9-to-5 job and doing my passion on the side.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that right now. But you know what?
Of course. Yeah.
We've been able to position ourselves at where my eventual retirement is. My wife actually approached me about saying, hey, you know what? We might be able to do podcasts when you retire.
Amen.
And I'm like, we might be able to.
There you go.
But right now, God doesn't have me doing that.
That's so. Right. Amen. Now, you have a blog as well. Tell us about some of the content you post on your blog. How often do you do it?
Sure.
And subject matter and all that.
So the content changes. I probably put a blog out there a couple times a month. I'm not I'm working on one right now that talks about, they've got this thing called Fight for 15, which is a $15 minimum wage, which is a living wage, as they call it. Well, I have a couple questions that I'm going to address in my blog about how serious our politicians are about a living wage, because I would say they're not serious. It's a great political talking point, but I would say they're not serious, and I'm going to point out in that blog why they're not serious.
Amen.
So that's one of the things I'm working on. But I put it out there about 3 or 4 times a month. I'll put a different blog out there, and then I try to socialize it on social media.
Right. Now, since you just started your website, will you just be promoting the website and then have a link to the blog on the website?
I'm going to be adding the blog to the website. So that's going to be one of those things. I'm an army of one when it comes to website building.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
So.
Okay.
So I just turned it up actually this weekend. So I'm looking to
still
get some good material out there and yeah.
Okay. Amen. Now I know you're super busy, and I have to tell you, you're doing a great job. And again, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, perhaps to ask a question or maybe even do an interview like this, how can they do that?
Well, certainly they could definitely hit me with an email. It's ken@financialblackbelt.us. They could call me. I have no problem with you sharing my number with other people. If people contact you and say, hey, I'd really like to get in touch with that person.
Okay.
You have my number, so I can get my permission to share.
I'd recommend that they email you and ask you for your number. That'd be probably the best. So give us that email address again.
It's ken@financialblackbelt.us.
Okay, and the website address is financialblackbelt.us as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. And all of your books, they're available on Amazon?
All my books are available on Amazon, correct.
Okay, so I'll be putting links to all this in the show notes. So, folks, all you have to do is go down in the show notes and click on the links. You'll be able to order Ken's books, get email Ken directly or go to the website. Ken, I want to thank you for taking the time to come on the program today. I mean, you gave us a lot of stuff to talk. We could keep talking for another hour, easy.
Easily.
There's just a connection right there, I can tell. And, but I do thank you for coming on the program today.
Absolutely. I really appreciate the opportunity to share some insight, to share some camaraderie with a fellow soldier and a fellow Christian. Let's keep fighting the good fight and move forward.
Amen. Soldiers in the Army of the Cross, right?
There you go.
Folks, you need to go to Ken Rupert's author page on Amazon and check it out as well. And I'll have the links to all of this in the show notes. You heard the kind of value he's providing through his books. This is information that is invaluable to each and every person. You must have secure, stable finances to survive in this world in which we live today. Each and every person is responsible for their own financial well-being. To not be one of those that tries to game the system and then blame everyone and everything when life doesn't work out the way you want. You are your own safety net if you plan ahead. That's where Ken Rupert can come in and help. If you find yourself having to become the caregiver for a loved one, a parent, spouse, or child, Ken can give you some valuable advice in that area as well. Often, it may seem as if you're facing it alone, but it does not have to be that way. Reach out to Ken, and he can give you some encouragement and advice to help you along the path that life has placed you on. Ken, once again, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Oh, thank you so much, and I appreciate you and everything you do.
I appreciate that. That's all the time we have for today, folks. And for Ken Rupert and myself, this is Bob Tibble reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.